A wife comes home one evening and she says to her husband, "Honey, I'm sorry, I got a little water in the carburetor." And the husband says, "Well, where's the car?" She says, "At the bottom of the lake." Now, we would call that an understatement, exactly the opposite of what Jesus does today in the gospel. In tonight's gospel, Jesus uses a hyperbole or exaggeration to make a point. He turns to the crowds and says, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." See, that's an expression, an obvious exaggeration to make dramatic effect, to make a point upon the crowd. If you look at this passage in context, the Lord is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to his death. And at this point, the Lord was very popular. He had countless followers. Thousands of people were following him for many different reasons. So here Jesus was trying to separate the men from the boys. He was trying to let the crowd know and ask them to really ask themselves, why were they following him? The Lord had worked great miracles. He had cured the sick. Were they following Jesus just to get a cure? The Lord had fed multitudes. He had fed 5,000 people with the loaves and fish. Were they following him just to be fed? What was the reason for their discipleship? Why were they following Christ? Was it for a good reason or for a bad reason? Were they just nonchalant followers of Christ? Or were they truly disciples of Christ? There's a difference between being a casual follower of Christ and being a real disciple of Christ. So the Lord turned around and he saw this vast crowd. And again, the Lord was on his way to his death. A lot of the crowd thought he was on his way to become a political leader in Jerusalem, that he was going to go into Jerusalem and become a great political leader. The Lord turned to them and said, "When you follow me, you have to love me above all things. You have to be willing to love me above any relationship, any family tie, any material possession, even one's own life." So how do we understand this phrase, this obvious exaggeration, this hyperbole where Jesus says, if anyone comes to me without hating father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, even your own life, you cannot be his disciple. How do we compare that to other things the Lord said? He would say things like, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus told us, honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, how does this idea of hating one's father, mother, and family relations, how does that square with Jesus' other teaching on love, such as honoring your parents? Jesus even said, love your enemies. Well, if we're called to love our enemies, shouldn't we also love our father, mother, and children, and brothers and sisters, and ourselves? Because Jesus did say, love your neighbor as yourself. What is the Lord getting at? Well, obviously, he's using a hyperbole to make a point. And when you read what the fathers of the church and the doctors of the church have said about this, the main point the Lord seems to be making is that he has to be number one in your life. That in a hierarchy, God has to come first, above everything else, above material possessions, even above family relationships. You have to love Jesus more than you love anything else in this world. And he's challenging us to really look at our life and to ask ourselves, is Jesus number one in our life? Because otherwise, we're not a true disciple of Christ. We may be a casual follower of Christ, but that's not good enough. The Lord wants us to become his friends, his true disciples, and to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, above every earthly tie, above every material thing. Now, some examples of this, for example, you might have a young woman called to religious life, or a young man called to the priesthood. Well, if God is truly calling them, then they're called to sacrifice their own family, having a spouse, having their own children, for the sake of loving God above all things. See, that is an example. What if somebody says, well, my mom or my dad doesn't want me to become a priest or a nun, so I can't do that. Well, if God is calling that person, if it's a true vocation, and if the Lord is asking that person to do that, then they need to be willing to sacrifice even earthly ties in order to follow the will of God and to love God with their whole being. And then the Lord goes on to say, really the whole point of this gospel is the cost of discipleship. The Lord goes on in the very next sentence to say, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now in those days when the Lord said you have to be willing to carry your cross, see, we think of, you know, offering things up and offering up our sufferings to the Lord. That's how we think of our crosses, as maybe physical crosses, emotional crosses, financial crosses, health issues. See, those are the crosses that we carry. But when Jesus said, you have to be willing to carry your cross, the only people that carried their crosses in Jerusalem were people going to their death, people being put to death. Jesus would carry his cross to Calvary and they would crucify him. Anybody else carrying a cross would be condemned as a criminal and would be crucified on Golgotha at the place of the skull. So this obviously got their attention. So people had to be willing to sacrifice to follow Christ, to be willing even to die for him, to carry their cross in order to be a true disciple. As I mentioned, our crosses are a lot different than that. Our crosses, perhaps our health issues that people battle with, whether it be, you know, something like cancer or other illnesses that people are battling, that's your cross. And Jesus says, take up your cross every day and follow in my footsteps. Your cross might be financial hardship or the loss of a job, trying to find a job after many, many months. Your cross might be a relationship problem with somebody that you know, or even a spouse or a family member or somebody that you work with. What is your cross? Jesus said, be willing to take up your cross every day and follow in my footsteps, to be a true disciple. And lastly, then the Lord concludes with two images, and he says, even before somebody constructs a tower, they first sit down to see if they have enough money to complete it, enough materials. Otherwise, they don't want to start what they can't finish. Or a king going into battle with 10,000 soldiers, can he beat an army of 20,000? In other words, these human images are examples of people that will count the cost. They will look ahead and they will sit down carefully before they make a decision to build a tower or to go into battle. So Jesus is turning to this big crowd and say, before you follow me, you know, why are you following me? Is it just to be fed with the multitude of the loaves and the fish? Or realize that I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to my death. Make sure you sit down carefully and examine what you're getting yourself into in following Christ. That's what he's telling the crowds. So just as a person will sit down and carefully plot if he has enough money to build a tower or a king to go into battle, so Jesus is saying, before you follow me, make sure you're willing to sacrifice everything for my sake. And the last thing he says is, whoever does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. Now there are some that are called to give up everything, for example, like the poor Clares or the Carmelites or those in religious life, they give up everything. But for 99% of Christians, you give up everything to follow Christ, but you have to be detached from everything to make sure that God is number one in your life and to be detached from material things. That's what the Lord is referring to be His disciple. We can't be more attached to material things than to Christ, or more attached to family than to Christ. So again, this whole theme, what is the cost of discipleship, and are we willing to pay that cross, to carry our cross, and to pay the cost of being a true follower of Christ?